good morning, everybody, and welcome to the San Diego Housing Commission's board meeting of November 30th, 2018. I'd like to call the meeting to order. As we get, prior to getting started, let me just lay some rules of engagement, if I could, out for us. Any members of the public that are wishing to address the commission must fill out a speaker slip. Your testimony will be limited to 3 minutes each. Non-agenda public items are heard, will be heard at the beginning of the meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a specific topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker slip. Members of the public may also request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker slip form prior to the start of the meeting. To speak on matters on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called, and those who wish to speak in opposition to an item must complete the pink-colored form, and those who are in favor must fill out the gold-colored form. So, with that, as the rules of engagement here, let's proceed with first the non-agenda public comments. And I have two requests to speak on this section of the meeting, and the first is Martha Welch. Martha? Welcome.
Good morning, Martha Welch. I'm thinking about Section 8. I went to the website, and I can't up my birth date. And I called, no one answered. And I called the Amos, and he didn't call me back. I know Section doesn't work here because this is what I use for the FBI, HUD, and that. And they looked into me, and they found out I'm telling the truth. Because it's very easy because I live at PHP and they found out that's true. I know what happens in this city. The county gets all the HUD money, you know, and it has to they have to give you the money from the county. That's how it works. And it's broken right now. It doesn't work. Because we have all these rules in place, because AMI and the tiers and everything like that, and the property Section 8 doesn't work. I used to have a Potiker, and they have a new manager over there, and she didn't like what happened with Tondi was used to be there, and she found out that there's no HUD, Section 8 for the people who have Section 8 property that doesn't have that, and all these tiers and everything, and it doesn't work here at all. And the HUD money is the other thing I use the FBI because it's embezzlement, and they have the checks. Right now there's a case in the court. HUD's getting the money back. William is his real name, and it's in Union Bank. That's where all the money is. And they have the case to get the money back. HUD is doing that. And there's a lot of cases right now that's about this is going on. I go to the court all the time and look up cases. That's why I know. And this is wrong what you do here. It's a bunch of lies and everything. We always have all these rules, and all we build is single studios. What about families? You use a bond for family, but it's not awesome like that. Celadon, you had mostly a family, but it's only studios, one bedroom. So it doesn't work here. You don't care about families. You had a video one time in this room show a family in one bedroom with a twin bed, and that's not right. You have to have two bedrooms and three bedrooms. And also, you've been deferred all these years. Now, I know that Park 12 used to be the ballpark, has a low income, and Lexington has that. And the Ray, is the first couple floors are cheaper now because they couldn't fill it up. This is going on here, and it's wrong with housing because HUD is missing here, and it's a really bad thing because 3% of your income, and when they came here, Carson was very surprised we don't have HUD buildings here. And I've also tweeted him and told him what goes on here and everything goes on here because it's not right. HUD is missing here, and it's the one thing that people could have, and Section 8 is the other thing to help it cheaper, but it doesn't work. So it's hard for people to find housing here because there isn't anything that's affordable, and it's wrong. You should change the rules and break the rules and find out nothing happens.
Thank you. Okay. Second request to speak under non-agenda items is Ms. Joy Sunyata. Joy, welcome.
Thank you so much. Joy Sunyata, District 3. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. I always feel honored when I do this, but I always have butterflies.
No, don't have them. Okay. We always appreciate
you. Oh, they're pretty big this morning.
Oh.
All right. I want to start out with this. It's the last board meeting of the, of 2018.
Yeah.
And so I want to start out by saying that my thank yous. And I want to thank the board for all that you've done for us this year. Everybody, just thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And of course, all the other management and staff of the Housing Commission. Thank you. I love you. I just can't say enough good about you. And I have to single out three people that really have kept me afloat this year from the San Diego Housing Commission. Ann Kern, Lisa Jones, and Wendy DeWitt. They're absolutely fabulous. I could not have gotten through the year without them. And also thank you for the hiring of our consultant for the strategic plan for fighting homelessness. Hope I say her name right. Anne Olivio. Mm-hmm. So it's just thrilling to have that other piece in there. And I'm looking forward to having her work with everybody. And so here we have 2019 coming up. And guess what? The San Diego Housing Commission is even more important than ever, ever before. I'm getting it. It's all about all of you, because we've got to have shelter, right? All of us love our homes. And we're in a real crisis now, a real, real, real crisis. So we're going into 2019. We're going to do our best. But I just want you to know that just in case you don't get this as much as you ought to get it out in the community, we absolutely rely on all of you. We're not going to get through this. We're absolutely not going to be able to. It'll take us a while to get through this housing crisis with the homeless issue and everything. But we just need all of you to really help us, and everybody here too. We just got to get behind it. And as I said, I just can't say enough. You know, housing is a part of the San Diego Housing Commission. So housing is right there. And so, you know, a lot of it falls on your shoulders, and you're ready for it, and you've shown us already. I'm blown away by what I see that everybody's doing. It's so complex. It's so dense. It's so frustrating. There's just so much about it that's good and tough. So hang in there. And I think that does it. Just know that you're appreciated. And I'm looking forward to the new year with all of you. And I wish you the very best for you and your families in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. That was very nice of you. Your comments are right on point. They're very encouraging. The only exception I would say, it's not about us. It's about the mission that we've taken on to fulfill of the Housing Commission. And this commission is determined to help in that. Certainly we know the challenges that we're dealing with on a daily basis. So appreciate that. Folks, those are the two requests to speak on the non-agenda items. Let's go to commissioner comments and let the record show we have a full commission board meeting here today. Any commissioners wishing to bring anything forward? Okay. Seeing none, then I'll turn it over to our president and CEO, Rick Gentry. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As always, I have a handful of remarks to make just for the record. The first is just a reminder and a statement for the record. On November the 13th, the Housing Commission issued its fiscal year 2018 annual report. As has been the case for about 6 or 7 years running, it is an electronic annual report. It so blows me away that you can push a button and a photo turns into a video. I say that as the lowest tech person at this organization. But it's on our website. I would encourage you, if you've not looked at it yet, to please do so. It includes videos, graphics, and a lot of anecdotes about the positive effects that this agency has had with their customers over the years. This year's report was a special one. It was a 10-year retrospective, looking back at the year 2008 forward, when the board at that time charged this agency with basically changing the way it did its business. And I think we've done so. I would encourage you to take a look at it and look at just some astounding numbers in that report on accomplishments that we've been able to achieve over the past 10 years. All of this reflects leadership and guidance from this board and past board members. And I think without that leadership, without that guidance, without this board setting public policy for this organization, none of it would have happened. And thank you all, and also previous board members, very, very much. Also, something that's happened just this week, on Monday, as a matter of fact, which I think is reflective of the recognition this agency is getting for some of the innovative stuff that we do, is I was asked to chair a National Advisory Committee for Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae, which is the Federal National Mortgage Association, as you all know, which does secondary mortgage financing for the nation and has since the 1930s, has a provision set up in its 2008 Reform Act, which is called a duty to serve. And that is Fannie is expected to have a duty to serve those individuals, families, parts of town that have been excluded in the past from the mainstream of their activities. And so what Fannie Mae has done is put together an advisory committee of no less than 10 public agencies across the country that are involved in affordable housing, and they've asked me to chair it. Quite an honor, and again, it reflects not so much me as this organization and what we've been able to get done over the past few years and the standing that has for us within the nation. Within the public housing world, we are known as the San Diego model. As you all have heard about, as you go to conferences and travel the country on business. And so I'm very pleased to have this honor bestowed not on me, but on this organization. And I'll keep you apprised on how that goes forward. Additionally, and in real estate terms, I'd like to just note that we had three significant events since the last board meeting. For properties, we had two groundbreakings and one ribbon cutting. We had a ribbon cutting on November the 28th, just 2 days ago, on the Luna at Pacific Highlands Ranch. Vice Chair Benvenuto was able to speak at that grand opening, and this development provides some 77 affordable rental apartments for low-income families in the northwestern area of the city of San Diego. And this is a property that will remain affordable for 55 years and is currently serving families with an income up to $58,380 per year, although most will be significantly lower than that. Also on November the 14th, there was a groundbreaking at the San Ysidro Senior Village apartment complex. Chair Tassin was among the speakers at this groundbreaking event. And this property, when completed next year, will provide some 50 studio apartments with supportive housing services for seniors experiencing homelessness. It is part of our homelessness action plan that we set out some 4 years ago called Housing First San Diego. Also, on October the 15th, there was another groundbreaking at the Pacifica at Playa del Sol. This groundbreaking was attended by Vice Chair Benvenuto. And this is a complex that will provide some 42 new affordable housing apartments for people with incomes up to 60% of the area median income. Again, these apartments will remain affordable for 55 years. And I think that these three complexes, the one that got occupied just lately and the two that had the groundbreaking services, are the real example of what we do best here. And to the staff on the real estate side in particular who are involved in these properties, thank you very much. Work well done. And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Okay, let's move on to the approval of the minutes of the regular and special meeting of October 5th, 2018. Any corrections or edits to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. A motion by Commissioner Davis, second by Commissioner Hester. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Those minutes are approved as presented. Let's go to the on the consent agenda. I am proposing that we handle items 100 and 101 on consent. I have no request to speak on either one of those items. If that's acceptable to the board, I'll entertain a motion to take 100 and 101 on consent. I have Commissioner Walsh, a motion from him. Commissioner Hubbard does a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Items 100 and 101 are approved on consent. Okay, let's go on to item 102. And this is a request to approve a 6.5-month agreement with 2 one-year options to renew with Alpha Project for the homeless to operate the City of San Diego's Cortez Hills Family Center Interim Housing Program at 1449 9th Avenue here in the City of San Diego. I see Mr. Davis and Ms. Jones here ready to go. I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning, Chair Tassin. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff, and with me is Lisa Jones, our Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations. This morning, we are recommending that the Housing Commission authorize the execution of an agreement with Alpha Project for the Homeless for the continued operation of the City of San Diego's Cortez Hill Family Center Interim Housing Program. The agreement will be for the term of December 15, 2018 through June 30, 2019. And the total contract amount will be $507,265.60. With your approval this morning, the Housing Commission would have 2 one-year options to extend the agreement. Operations under Alpha Project are projected to commence between December 15th and January 1st. The site will be made available to Alpha Project through a sublease with the current operator that will be approved by the City of San Diego. At the end of that sublease term, Alpha Project will enter into a direct lease agreement with the city. The recommended operator of the center was identified through a competitive procurement process after the Housing Commission received formal notice from the YWCA of San Diego County that they would be surrendering the existing operating contract. The YWCA is a long-term partner with the Housing Commission and the city in serving families experiencing homelessness, and they will continue both the Rapid Rehousing Program and the Transitional Housing Program that they operate under contracts with the Housing Commission. However, in regard to interim shelter services, YWCA leadership have determined that at this time, they want to focus their agency's energies on other areas. We just want to point out that the YWCA has been very cooperative and helpful during this transition. On June 30th, 2018, the Housing Commission issued a formal request for proposals, which included more than 100 notifications through the Planet Bid vendor portal, as well as being advertised in the San Diego Union Tribune. A pre-proposal meeting was held on September 12th with prospective respondents, and 4 proposals were received by the deadline of September 19, 2018. A source selection committee evaluated, scored, and ranked the responses and is recommending that the contract be awarded to Alpha Project for the Homeless. The Cortez Hill Family Center currently operates as a year-round service-enhanced interim housing program in alignment with the principles of Housing First. It serves a minimum of 150 families with children experiencing homelessness in the city. Those 150 families include, on average, a minimum of 300 children who are served. The program provides safe, low-barrier interim housing, as well as stabilization and supportive services to prepare homeless families for the most appropriate long-term or permanent housing intervention. During program participation, families are provided access and support through case management, on-site and off-site counseling services, outside agency referrals, as well as regular daily meals, childcare, and children's activities. In fiscal year 2018, 261 households were served, which included 823 individuals, of which 508 were children. As of September 2018, the Cortez Hill Interim Shelter has served 92 households composed of 117 adults and 170 children. Alpha Project for the Homeless is a well-established homeless service provider with more than 20 years of experience meeting the needs of individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Through its array of housing and supportive services, Alpha Project is able to serve more than 4,000 men, women, and children on an annual basis. The organization follows a housing-first model, which recognizes the need to provide housing and shelter without preconditions, in conjunction with the provision of supportive services. Alpha Project has been serving families experiencing homelessness since 1995 through permanent supportive housing programs and in the past several years through federally funded rapid rehousing programs. They also successfully operated the City of San Diego's temporary campground that was opened during the fall of 2017 in response to the city's health crisis at the time. In addition to its portfolio of interim shelters, rapid rehousing, and permanent supportive housing programs. Alpha Project coordinates a variety of services for its clients, including substance abuse treatment, employment readiness and placement, transportation assistance, and health care, to name just a few.
The YWCA and Alpha Project have been working on a transition plan that provides a seamless and supportive continuation of services for the children clients in the shelter. As is the case under the current contract expectations, the center will continue to provide 156 beds and 47 units for families with children that are experiencing homelessness. Program operations will be aligned with Housing First principles, and they will participate in both the coordinated entry system and coordinated street-based outreach planning administered by the Regional Task Force on the Homeless. The center will serve families that are highly vulnerable and in greatest need of shelter. In alignment with the Regional Task Force community standards, families that are considered highly vulnerable include homeless families with a disability with long periods of episodic homelessness and severe service needs, homeless families with a disability with severe service needs, homeless families with a disability coming from places not meant for human habitation, homeless families fleeing domestic violence, and homeless families coming from places not meant for human habitation. Additional program components include the provision of on-site intake, assessment, and triage services, as well as connections to mainstream permanent housing opportunities in conjunction with supportive services to meet the individual needs of each household. The staffing model is composed of on-site housing specialists, case managers, residential monitors, and outreach workers. Prevention and diversion services will be present to ensure clients have access to light support that may be the difference between needing emergency shelter or staying permanently housed. Intake and assessment workers will start the process of engaging new clients and starting them on the path of the coordinated entry system when appropriate. Housing-focused case management services will guide and support clients until appropriate housing is located. Along with being housing-focused, housing specialists can connect clients to needed services that may help increase the chance of long-term stability and improve their quality of life. Alpha Project will also leverage partnerships with other local agencies to provide connections to healthcare services, family care, youth services, as well as employment opportunities. Alpha Project has developed a program design that leverages privately raised funds, existing in-house supportive services, and a multiple memoranda of understanding with partnering service providers to provide a comprehensive network of resources and service connections for the clients they will be serving at the center. These partners include Family Health Centers of San Diego, Think Dignity, Uplift, Urban Growth, Youth Assistance Coalition, and Veterans Villages of San Diego. As a result, clients will have access to additional case management and housing navigation support, healthcare services, counseling, substance abuse treatment, legal assistance, job training, employment opportunities, and transportation assistance. As part of standard program operations, Alpha Project will obtain site control by entering into a sublease agreement with the YWCA, provide security to ensure a safe environment at the center for clients, volunteers, and others who may come in contact with the center, maintain a clean environment free of litter, debris, and graffiti, and comply with all regulations, inspections, and recertifications as directed by the fire marshal. The operating contract includes multiple performance outcomes and standards to monitor the month-to-month activities of the program and success in assisting clients to obtain self-sufficiency. These outcomes include serving a minimum of 150 households, which equates to about 500 individuals annually. The minimum number of households is set at 150 to allow for the program to be as client-focused as possible. The current average length of stay goal is 90 days, but some households may need significantly longer than that to stabilize and exit to longer or permanent housing. If the minimum number is set too high, it creates the risk of imposing a service approach that is solely number-driven and not client-centric. This could cause the operator to exit households prematurely, resulting in greater incidence of recidivism. We don't want to create a target number that prevents the operators from being best meeting each household's needs on a case-by-case basis. Additional goals include that at least 50% of participants increase income from entry to exit, that 65% of client exits will be to permanent or longer-term housing, and that less than 20% of residents will exit the program for noncompliance. For reporting purposes, the Housing Commission will also be collecting data on recidivism, system coordination, employment status, and the number of individuals on the program waitlist. The funding outlined in the operator contract is a 6.5-month prorated amount based on the program's traditional annual funding availability. We would like to note that there is a discrepancy between the staff report and today's presentation regarding the total budget amount for the initial 6.5-month operating term. The difference is an increase of $1.28. This is because the city recently identified that $1.28 in the fiscal year 2019 ESG Emergency Solutions Grant funds had been uncommitted. Rather than the city having to send that money back to HUD, we amended the contract amount for the first option year only in order to commit those funds. When Jeff first saw that, he thought it was $1.28 million. I wish. In future contract terms, the available operating funds will be $936,489. This consists of $191,863 in community development block grant funds, $305,626 in emergency solution grant funds, and $439,000 from the City of San Diego's Affordable Housing Fund. This updated budget represents a $239,000 increase in funding administered by the Housing Commission and is part of the agency's ongoing efforts to right-size the operations of existing programs, address service gaps, and improve client experience. Today, we are asking the Housing Commission Board to take the following actions. Approve a 6.5-month agreement with 2 one-year options to extend at the Housing Commission's sole discretion for a total term of 2 years and 6.5 months, if and when all options are exercised, with Alpha Project for the Homeless, to operate the center on terms and conditions as set forth in the agreement, as it may be amended upon advice of General Counsel of the Housing Commission. Authorize the execution of an agreement with Alpha Project in the amount of $507,265.60 for a 6.5-month operating period to provide interim housing services to homeless families with children, contingent upon the appropriation of said funds by the City of San Diego. Authorize the President and Chief Executive Officer or designee to execute all necessary documents and instruments that are necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals in a form and format approved by General Counsel and to take such actions as necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals. And authorize the President and CEO to substitute funding sources and or increase compensation by not more than 20% of the total agreement amount for the proposed agreement, if necessary, without further action by the Board of Commissioners of the Housing Commission, but only if and to the extent that funds are determined to be available for such purposes. This concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions you may have. We also have Amy Gagneau, the Chief Operations Officer from Alpha Project, here as well.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Ms. Jones, Amy, do you wish to add anything to... Well, then come on up. Jump in. Water's warm.
You can't hear me. First of all, good morning. I want to thank you for selecting us as the operator. We always appreciate the confidence the Housing Commission has in our agency, and we plan to do the best job we can and be really successful with this. As Lisa had mentioned prior to that, we have brought a lot of partnerships on board. We have a lot of strong partners. And those partners that she had listed right there are basically the MOUs that I could get in the time of the quick turnaround of the RFP. We have several other agencies that are going to participate, such as Mission Federal Bank. They've already committed to come on site, open up free checking, savings accounts for every individual regardless of their credit. They're also going to do budgeting with them and credit repair, things like that. So in addition to the Family Health Centers, they're going to provide a huge array of services like they had mentioned, but they also have committed to a 0.20 staff member to be on site all the time. So that was a big piece too, because right now we're leveraging about $550,000 to this contract with the in-kind services of the providers plus Alpha Project putting in cash matches and other funding sources to make the project even larger. On a personal note, this one means a lot to me. I used to run the YWCA. All the programs there, implemented this program, designed this program. That was when I was little. So now that I'm old, I get to kind of swing back and kind of have that experience again. So to me personally, I just wanted to share that. This is a great opportunity that I'm really looking forward to. The other thing I wanted to mention as well is the director, Kelly Knight, actually went through the program when she experienced homelessness about 16 years ago. So we selected her to help with the project, obviously, as well. And that means she was crying yesterday when we were on site, you know, just because it brings up all those memories. And her daughter have been stable for 15 years living in their own place and kind of brings that component as well. So we're really happy about that. Okay, you know Bob. So we've already started our adopt-a-family. So they've all been adopted for Christmas. We're getting our tree. We're getting our stuff. We're going to do improvements to the property. God, every time he does that, I just go, ugh, that's a lot of money. But anyway, that's the way we operate. So we're also going to bring our Wheels of Change program. So the 50% increase employment, other than just, you know, getting jobs, obviously, long term, has been really successful down at the bridge shelter. So we go out 3 days a week. We do have a second van, so we were looking for expansion. And so now that we have this, we can bring that project up to Cortez Hill and give the adults the ability to go out on the work crews. And basically, if you don't know what it is, they go out into the community and they clean up the community. So Cortez Hill is going to benefit in that respect as well. And that also does peer-to-peer outreach. And we pay them minimum wage every time they go out. So 10 to 12 people per day get to go out. So we're excited to bring that over to the project too. And then we'll just bring an array of other things, just the way Alpha Project operates, regardless of the expense of it. So anyways, I want to thank you. And that's about it for me.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being here. Certainly no shortage of input from you, and we appreciate that.
Sorry.
Really appreciate the work that the Alpha Project. I mean, you guys are a proven commodity. You're the right organization at the right time to step into this role from my perspective. Commissioners, any questions of staff or of Ms. Gagne? Please. Commissioner Benvenuto.
Amy, while you're here, I just want to reiterate Chair Tassin's comments, but also say that the creativity and the passion that Alpha Project has brought to this, the Wheels of Change program, is so exciting, and just the way that you guys organically look at the client's needs and holistically approach all of that is really refreshing in what of late has been quite a challenging time, I think, for the city. So just know that we very much appreciate you and all the work you're doing, and I'm glad that you'll get a chance to do this 2.0 effort. So that's going to be wonderful. I just had two quick questions. One, what was the term of the original contract with the YWCA that they're backing out of? Okay, so this wasn't a long period of time, and that something has changed, or I was just curious about that. Okay. So more of an organizational change for them versus any sort of change in the client population or their needs or something like that. Okay. And then secondarily, the data collection that will happen will be in alignment with what's going on at the bridge shelters, right? We're all using the same programs, same.
Right. So essentially the data collection that we collect at the bridge shelters and at the interim shelters is similar. Priority level data is a little unique to the bridge shelters because of how that model was designed. But other than that, the data is similar across the board.
Okay, yes. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Gagne. Thank you, staff. Let the record show that we have a request from Ms. Joy Sunyata just to let us know that she doesn't wish to speak, but she does support the actions that have been recommended here to us today. Okay. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve staff's recommendation, Commissioner Davis' recommendation, second by Commissioner Klumper.
Can I just real quick, I realize it's de minimis, but can we clarify that the staff recommendation is adjusted, the one set forth in the book is adjusted per Ms. Jones' increase in the amount?
The $1.28. Thank you, counsel.
Right.
Mr. Gentry, I know you had some comments.
I was just going to do another amen.
Okay, very good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 102 is approved. Thank you, Seth. And we're on to item number 103. This is a requested action to approve a grant and amendment to the ground lease to facilitate the rehabilitation of the Quality Inn, a 92-unit existing development located at 1844th Avenue, which will include 91 units for transition-aged youth, veterans, seniors, and adults with mental disabilities who are experiencing homelessness that will remain affordable for 55 years. Ms. Kessler, are you handling this?
Yeah. Good morning. This is Colin Miller, Vice President, Multifamily Housing Finance. As stated, the item before you is the Moving to Work Grant Recommendation and Ground Lease Term Adjustment for the Quality Inn. Quality Inn's development is owned by the Housing Commission and was transferred to its affiliate, Housing Development Partners. I am joined by Tina Kessler, Housing Programs Manager, and Mike Pavko, Senior Vice President. With that being said, we'll turn the presentation over to Tina.
Good morning. Our staff requests that the Housing Commission approve a grant in the amount of up to $5,602,926 to HDP Quality Inn LLC and an amendment to the ground lease to facilitate the rehabilitation of the property, an existing 92-unit development located at 1840 4th Avenue, which will include 91 units for various homeless populations and remain affordable for 55 years. Additionally, staff request approval to authorize the Housing Commission's Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff or designee to adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary to accommodate market changes, provided that the proposed maximum grant amount does not increase. In addition, substitute approved funding sources not to exceed the maximum approved grant amount contingent upon budget availability based on the advice of the Housing Commission's General Counsel. The acquisition of Quality Inn is part of the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego initiative, providing increased housing opportunities for homeless. The Housing Commission acquired the property in December of 2017 and entered into a ground lease with Housing Development Partners, the Housing Commission's affiliated nonprofit development group. Housing Development Partners intends to renovate the property, ultimately creating 91 restricted permanent supportive housing units for homeless. This is a site map of the existing property located at 1840 4th Avenue in the Uptown Community Plan area of Council District 3. Here are some site photos. The development consists of a four-story hotel building. Units will be renovated to include 50 studio and 42 single-room occupancy units, including one manager's unit. Current amenities include a central courtyard, community room, on-site laundry, secured entry, and an elevator. Quality Inn was originally constructed in 1990 and will require renovations to convert the existing hotel rooms to studio and SRO units. The scope of the proposed rehabilitation includes comprehensive improvements to unit interiors and common areas, as well as improvements to the building's electrical, plumbing, and mechanical systems. This slide summarizes the development request to approve a grant just over $5.6 million and to amend the ground lease. The developer of the project is Housing Development Partners, the nonprofit affiliate of the San Diego Housing Commission, and the property manager is SK Management. This slide here gives you a summary of the various service providers and the number of units that they will be providing services for. Service provider partners include Pathways, Community Research Foundation, St. Paul's PACE, the Veterans Administration, San Diego Youth Services, and Home Start. On-site and off-site services may include meal support, daily living support, nutrition and transportation support, in addition to other services as needed and assessed on a case-by-case basis for tenants. Total development costs of the project will be approximately $13.6 million, which is about $148,000 per unit. The sources of funding include a Housing Commission grant, Home Depot grant, an MHSA loan, and a bank loan. Units will be restricted at 60% of area median income for 55 years. Additionally, HDP has entered into a 20-year housing assistance payment contract. Tenants will pay no more than 28.5% of their adjusted monthly income for rent. The developer expects to close financing in the spring of 2019 and complete the renovations within 1 year following the construction start. Thank you. That concludes the presentation. We are happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, Mr. Ginger.
Just for perspective's sake, I want to point out and remind the board members what the move into work means. This is a move into work grant. We're granting ourselves. And move into work, what has happened is that because of efficient operations of our voucher program, which is the good people on the third floor under the leadership of Vasu Zaina Valladolid. And Jeff, please make sure Zaina knows I say good things about her and the people on the third floor. Because of efficient operations there, this is retained earnings, monies we have saved, that because we're a move into work agency, we can plow back into the business. So this is where we're saving money in one program, to create assets on another program. Just want to make sure the board understands that's where this money is coming from. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Okay. I also have a request to speak, just a request for support from Ms. Joy Sonata on this project as well. Commissioners, this is the kind of project that brings us back. We're using monies that we've generated, as Mr. Gentry just indicated, on our own, be able to use our nonprofit partner, development partner, to take this project on. This is the kind of projects that are allowing this commission to move the needle here in providing housing. Any questions of staff? Commissioner Davis?
Yes, hi. Briefly, it's moving to work is wonderful, and I'm sure they'll take care of the training and all that. On your service providers, St. Paul's PACE for seniors, which I relate to, what exactly type of service do they provide?
Mr. Pafko?
Good morning, commissioners. Mike Pafko, Senior Vice President of Real Estate. We're really excited about this project. And, staff had indicated, there are a number of different service providers, including St. Paul's, who's been a really great partner for us in a number of other projects. But they have a really robust platform that provides comprehensive case management services, food and nutrition, health and wellness, just the entire spectrum. Kind of interesting to note, they have a facility that's just a couple blocks from Quality Inn in Bankers Hill, where residents have access to medical facilities and food and nutrition, in addition to on-site services. So they've just been a wonderful partner, and really excited to continue that on this project.
Do they also, in their medical programs, help a lot with mental issues like depression of seniors or anything like that? Is all wrapped under medical?
They do, yeah. So both at their facility and then on-site, they have comprehensive case management services, mental health. Could be for substance abuse, could be for counseling, any number of things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Clearly, staff has put a bow on this project. Offering those wraparound services are critical. Staff knows it, and it's reflective in the community partners that we have there with us. Any further questions for staff? Thank you, Mr. Pafko. Appreciate your work. Ms. Kessler, anything else you wanted to add? Okay. Commissioners, any other questions on this item? Pretty straightforward. I'll entertain a motion to support staff's recommendation. Commissioner Klumper, second by Vice Chair Benvenuto. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving to grant recommendation for the Quality Inn is approved as presented. Let's go on to item 104. Item 104 is a requested action to award of a design-build contract and approval of development budget for the rehabilitation and structural upgrades of the basement, limited exterior, and common areas of Hotel Sanford. Located at 1301 Fifth Avenue in San Diego, which is owned and managed by the San Diego Housing Commission. Mr. Mudd, are you handling this presentation?
I'm working along with my boss, Jennifer.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. My name is Jennifer McKinney. I'm the Vice President of Real Estate Operations. And with me today is Tom Mudd. He's the Director of Development Services. Item 104 is a request to approve the development budget and subsequent award of a design-build contract for rehabilitation work at the Hotel Sanford, a Housing Commission-owned property located at 1301 Fifth Avenue here in downtown San Diego. The Hotel Sanford was originally constructed in 1914 and consists of 130 single-room occupancy units. Common area amenities, including a computer center, library, community room, along with ground floor retail space. The community is home to seniors who are 55 years and older. The project is restricted to those with incomes at 50 and 60% of the area median income, which is currently $40,920 per year for a one-person household at the 60% level. On-site supportive services are in place at this project. The Housing Commission assumed the rights and responsibilities associated with the property from the city in 2010. Since then, the Housing Commission has advanced various rehabilitation and preservation projects through a multi-phased approach that started with the interior rooms, common areas, and exterior restoration. Last fiscal year, major plumbing repairs and replacements of fixtures and lines were completed, and this year the focus is on structural elements and waterproofing in the basement, along with other improvements throughout the building. Now I'd like to turn it over to Tom to share more details regarding the project.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, commissioners. Today we'd like to provide you with a brief outline of the proposed scope of work at the Hotel Sanford. Let's get started with the interior upgrades. This shall include new flooring, paint, and energy-efficient lighting in the corridors and common areas, waste management and trash chute upgrades, elevator equipment and elevator cab improvements, sound attenuation upgrades in the community room, and lease office reconfiguration and security improvements. Moving forward, allow me to highlight some of the exterior upgrades. These shall include accessible upgrades to the south entry door, landscape improvements at the second floor terrace and curbside planters, energy-efficient exterior lighting upgrades, architectural woodwork repairs and limited painting, gutter and storm drain design and replacement, and provision of a new solar photovoltaic system. Finally, let's review some of the basement structural upgrades. These will include structural repairs at the concrete retaining walls, columns, and beams, provisions for waterproofing and new sump pump systems, utility relocation to coordinate with associated repairs, and main electrical panel upgrades. In regards to the project duration, the staff anticipates completion of this work by June of 2019. The funding source for the subject project is all local funding. In closing, the staff is recommending that the San Diego Housing Commission take the following actions. First, authorize the president and CEO to enter into a design-build contract and all subsequent or associated contracts using competitive procurement methodologies. Second, approve the total development plan and ratification of the budget not to exceed $3,820,000. Third, authorize the president and CEO to substitute the identified funding sources with other available funds. And finally, authorize the president and CEO to execute all instruments and documents necessary and appropriate to process these approvals. Again, staff is recommending approval of the action items in front of you to complete the renovation of the Hotel Sanford. This concludes our presentation. We're available for any answers that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. McKinney and Mr. Mudd. Let the record show Ms. Sunyata supports this project as well. Let me start off telling you, I was surprised that this project came through. Don't take it wrong, but we went through a major remodel on this not that long ago, didn't we not?
Since we acquired the property in 2010, we've gone back a number of times. The first rehabilitation in 2010, which was the date of acquisition, was really light. It was focused on the interior of the rooms, and we did some exterior work as well. Now we're really looking at the structural pieces of the building, the waterproofing, the guts of the building, if you will, have never been touched. So we've gone back a couple of times since. Last year was the plumbing. This year is the waterproofing. So it's been a matter of funding availability, too, which is why it's been multi-phased over several years.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, did we know that we had these other needs on this building back then? Was it just simply that we didn't have the funding available when we took on the more cosmetic improvements, Mr. Gentry?
Let me give a little background and perspective again, since none of the board members were on board when this was done, and some of the staff involved weren't here then either. This reflects some of the best of our work over the last 10 years, and I'm going to refer you back to the annual report. In late 2007, HUD approved this agency's conversion of our public housing program to vouchers. And I could spend 2 hours telling you why that's a good thing to do. I'll spend 2 minutes. That allowed us to decouple subsidy from property and to let our families who are living in their former public housing use their vouchers to move if they want to. It also allowed us to, allowed HUD to release their control of the properties back to us. And when HUD did that, we issued debt on about 1,000 of those 1,163 former public housing units to the tune of $95 million in late 2009 and 2010, half through a Fannie Mae product, which is one reason they've asked me to participate in that other thing I mentioned a while ago, the other through an FHA financing program. We used that $95 million to acquire an additional 810 units of affordable housing in this city that we would not have had otherwise had we not gleaned the equity value out of those existing properties. This was one of those properties we picked up. It was one of the larger of the properties we picked up at that time. It was 810 units and I think eight different properties. And so what we did was to acquire the property from a nonprofit at the time, San Diego Kind. We made it habitable and good for the time being. In the meantime, over the past 3 or 4 years, we've gone through a green needs assessment of our entire portfolio, not just this property, but others, trying to get them in shape for the next 20 plus, next generation, if you will, of usage. So that's a long-winded way of saying that we acquired this with the money we had at the time, knowing that we were going to need to do further upgrades as time went by in order to make it useful for another 20 to 30 years into the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Commissioners, any questions? Okay. So the budgeted amount, we've done our due diligence on this. We figure that the work that we've set to do here is going to be able to be handled within the $3.8 million.
Yes, we have reached out to the Gordian Group and done an outside independent cost estimate for this, as well as internally we've done our own.
There's nothing, we've done our assessment like on the basement upgrades, and we don't see anything structural that could cause this, the expenses to go up.
In our pre-development, we've done a preliminary assessment. We're going to have to do more explorations with this, but we're going to. We've also planned for backup plans for some of the support that's in there, so we don't foresee it going beyond this.
Okay. All right. Commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Hester.
I think you may have just answered my question, which is, do we anticipate any more construction or rehab of the property after this particular? And I think he said no, right?
Not at this time.
Yeah. Oh, not at this time. So
he's leaving the door open that there could be, they could find something, but they've done some preliminary analysis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Assessment.
Sure, sure.
So just for the clarity here, I think we might be talking about slightly different things. You're, Mr. Chairman, you're asking about whether within this phase we expect it to be limited. And I think Commissioner Hester sort of wondering what I was thinking, which is, do we expect an additional phase on the horizon for something not covered in this one?
Well, I would say that we're at the 8-year mark now, so that probably in 5 to 7 more years, we will probably have a need to circle back to the interiors of the rooms. We certainly address items through preventative maintenance programs and upon move out when residents leave the community, but there will come a point in time where we'll probably have to go back and do additional renovations. The lifespan of a lot of components in the building is anywhere from 15 to 25 years, so we're on a schedule accordingly.
So, but that sounds like that's just the normal life cycle, not a unique to this structure renovation, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. If there's no other comment on this, I will entertain a motion to approve. Commissioner Hubbard, Commissioner Davis on the second. Any further discussion on this? Design build contract for the Hotel Sanford, $3.8 million. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go on to item 105. 105 is a requested action to approve the transfer of Mariner's Village, a 172 existing development located at 6847 Potomac Street, under the terms and conditions described in the staff report.
Good morning again. Colin Miller, Vice President, Multifamily Housing Finance. I'm joined by Tina Kessler, Housing Programs Manager. That item before you is the preliminary bond authorization and option to ground lease between the Housing Commission and HTP, an affiliate of the Housing Commission, for Mariner's Village. Just want to point out a couple of quick things. These bonds do not create a financial liability for the Housing Commission, and should these actions be approved, we will return to the board at a later date to present the final bond authorization request and provide updates. With that being said, I'll turn it over to Tina for the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Ms. Kessler.
Thank you, and good morning again. Staff are requesting that the Housing Commission authorize an option to ground lease with HDP, or a to-be-formed entity, for a 65-year term, and take the initial steps to issue multifamily housing revenue bonds to facilitate the rehabilitation of Mariner's Village, a 172-unit existing development located at 6847 Potomac Street that will remain affordable for 55 years. Additionally, staff are requesting that the Housing Commission recommend that the Housing Authority issue a bond inducement resolution for up to $42 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds, authorize an application and subsequent applications to SIDLAC, and approve the financing team of Squire Patton Boggs as bond counsel and Ross Financial as financial advisor. We are also requesting that the Housing Commission recommend that the City Council hold a Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act, or TEFRA, hearing and adopt a resolution approving the issuance of the multifamily housing revenue bonds. The proposed project is a 172-unit development located at 6847 Potomac Street in the Skyline Paradise Hills Community Plan Area in District 4. The Housing Commission originally acquired this property in 2010. The site map layout here shows the layout of the existing 12 buildings. They're all two stories with one, two, and three-bedroom units. Site amenities include a laundry room, leasing office, community pool and spa, and 265 parking spaces, of which 96 are enclosed garages. Mariner's Village was originally constructed in 1987 and requires a full and comprehensive rehabilitation. Previous improvements following the Housing Commission's purchase of the property include ADA path of travel upgrades that were completed in 2012. Here's another photo of the existing site. This shows the garages. The scope of the proposed rehabilitation includes comprehensive improvements to unit interiors and common areas, as well as improvements to building electrical, plumbing, and mechanical system. To summarize the developer's request, you are considering approvals to enter into an option to ground lease agreement with a 65-year lease term and take the preliminary steps to issue up to $42 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds. No loan funds are being requested. The developer of this project is Housing Development Partners, a nonprofit affiliate of the Housing Commission, and the property manager will be the Housing Commission's property management team. Total development cost of the project will be approximately $72.5 million, which comes out to about $421,000 per unit. Sources of funding include bonds, a seller note, tax credit equity, and a deferred developer fee. In order to maximize tax credit equity, this item is being brought forward at this time to preserve the status as a difficult-to-develop area, or DDA status, designation. The boundaries for these designations will change effective January 1st, 2019. HDP will be submitting, to meet the SIDLAC deadline, an application approximately December 14th with all approvals. With this designation, it saves approximately $1.5 million in tax credit equity, eliminating the need for other soft funding sources. The units will be restricted at 40 to 80% of the area median income for 55 years. Rents will range from $730 to $1,762 per month for the 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. This item will be brought back for formal bond-related approvals in 2019. They expect to close financing late in 2019 and complete the renovations in December of 2020. As Colin mentioned earlier, approval of the bonds and issuance of a TEFRA resolution does not commit the Housing Authority to issue bonds. The bonds would not constitute a debt of the city. If the bonds are ultimately issued for the project, the bonds will not financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission, because security for the repayment of the bonds will be limited to specific private revenue sources for the project. Here's the project schedule. With your consideration and approvals today, we'll be taking the item forward to Housing Commission and City Council on Monday, December 3rd, and then we'll be brought back in 2019 for final bond-related approvals. Thank you, and that concludes the presentation.
Thank you very much. Pretty straightforward. Also, being supported by Ms. Joy Sunyata on this item here. Commissioners, questions? Yes, Commissioner Benvenuto?
When we transfer a property over to HDP, like this is proposing, the tenants get to stay, correct? We don't. There's no switching over, no new lease requirements.
Yeah, that's correct. There will be no permit relocation.
Great, just verifying that. And then, if you wouldn't mind talking to me a little bit more about, this is an existing Housing Commission property, and just thinking about our last item and some of the nerves, maybe. I mean, it's a 100-year-old building. We're nervous. But talking about that and the money we're putting in for those upgrades and for the needs to update certain things, $420,000 a unit for this one, then, it's just because we're doing a significant overhaul and transitioning all that, or was there maybe some delinquency in getting some of those upgrades done while we had it in our hands under the Housing Commission title? I'm not sure if I'm even making any sense. I'm not sure I totally understand this.
Well, no, your point is good. It's a good question. I mean, you want to know how do you justify the $420,000 a unit upgrade for a project that was built in 1987?
Thank you.
Mr. Miller?
Yeah, I can. Sure, I'm happy to. Okay. Good morning again.
Mr. Pavko?
Yeah, so I just want to add some context to this and maybe just touch upon the last project for just a moment. So I think everybody's familiar with the Hotel Churchill, which was a project that is not so dissimilar to the Hotel Sanford, 100-year-old historic property. So we were able to put $15 million into the Hotel Churchill to do a comprehensive renovation, really new construction for the inside out, complete modernization. And when we're able to do that level of rehab, we don't need to come back and touch the project for many years. There's obviously a maintenance schedule, and there's going to be certain items that are going to need some upgrades, but by and large, the project is complete. So that's what we're looking to do with Mariners Village. This is a project that needs a comprehensive renovation. It's not so dissimilar to a number of other projects you might have seen in the past year or so with other developers that have come forward and to do tax credits. The hard cost per unit is $94,000 per unit. So the larger total development cost also incorporates the acquisition price for the property. And so we're not actually selling the property for those dollars, but it allows us to get additional tax credits. But sort of to, you know, just to help everybody understand, the ideal for us is to be able to do these comprehensive renovations and to not have to come back for a number of years, ideally about 15, which is the duration of the tax credit program. So with this project, you know, we might have a couple other repairs, but we don't anticipate you seeing another action item on this anytime soon.
Thank you, Mr. Pavko. Mr. Gentry.
I'll point out that this is another of those properties that we were able to acquire using proceeds from debt on existing other properties. And you can do the math. If we spend $95 million on 810 units, that's about $120K per door in real round numbers. And you don't get much for that. I think that we did a very good job back in the day of gleaning value and getting properties that were very well worth what we spent on them. But we knew that in out years we were going to need to further invest to get a long life. As Mr. Pavko just told you quite well, we're taking full advantage of an existing federal program called the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program. These are 4 percenters that go along with the tax-exempt bonds. They create no obligations locally beyond the project itself. And what we'll be able to do is set this one up in very good shape for another like 20 years plus.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions? Pretty straightforward. Everybody got it? Any further questions? Okay. Thanks, Mr. Pafko. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve staff's recommendation on this item. Motion by Vice Chair Benvenuto, second by Commissioner Hester. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Miller, Ms. Kessler. Let's go on to item 106. Item 106 is a requested action to accept the fiscal year 2018 comprehensive annual financial report and single audit reports specified in the list of the attachments that are in your staff report on page 3. Ms. McDermott, you're handling this.
I am, under the direction of our audit committee members that are present today, which is Commissioner Davis and Commissioner Hester. In the interest of time, I'm going to present an abbreviated version of what I present to the audit committee on November 1st. So, good morning, Chair Tassin, commissioners, Mr. Gentry, legal counsel. I'm Tracy McDermott, the Chief Financial Officer of the San Diego Housing Commission, and I have with me our controller, Marie Lawless. We're here today to present the results of our fiscal year 2018 annual financial audit. I'll begin with a brief summary of the audit results and then move on to financial results. But I also want to thank the audit committee for their support. We really appreciate it, and my finance team for such hard work this year. So we received an unmodified audit opinion. That's a clean opinion. Basically, with finance, no news is good news. We have no comments or findings on our internal controls or business processes, and the new accounting GASB pronouncements had no financial statement impact in fiscal year 2018. I'd just like to move on to our financial results summary. In fiscal year 2018, the Housing Commission received over $309 million in revenue, and expenses were over $245 million. The Housing Commission's efforts to address homelessness in San Diego exceeded $73 million in 2018. We also funded close to $43 million in multifamily development and single-family loans, and invested over $35 million in the rehabilitation of properties and acquisition of affordable housing units. Just a reminder that the majority of our funding comes from federal funding, over 72%. And as you can see, the majority of our revenue is generated from grant revenue, which includes housing assistance grants, which account for approximately 78% of our total revenue. Here we have our expenses, 2018 compared to 2017, and as you can see, our housing assistance continues to be the majority of the Housing Commission's expenses, which increased by $5 million due to the increase of utilization of VASH vouchers, property based vouchers, and rapid rehousing efforts in 2018. This is just a recap of our revenue and expenses. Then I'm going to move on to our statement of net position or balance sheet. It's comprised of two pie graphs that show our assets and our liabilities and net position. This is also referred to as our balance sheet. And as of June 30th, our Housing Commission's total assets exceeded total liabilities by $631 million. This is known as net position. Net position is the accumulated net worth since the agency's inception, and this is the net value of all the agency's assets if they were liquidated and all outstanding debts and obligations were to be paid. And this slide is a summary of statement of net positions comparing 2018 to 2017. I just want to talk about the increases, which was over $62 million, and half of those increases are related to the rehabilitation of our commission-owned assets and the acquisition of Quality Inn and West Park Inn. The other half of the increase is primarily due to loan payoffs and the funding of close to $43 million in new loans issued by the Housing Commission. This all increased our net position. I'm going to skip over definitions today. I'm going to conclude with something I think that everyone can relate to. Our increase in homelessness activities the last five fiscal years. And you can see in 2018, we spent over $73 million. And we continue to be dedicated to this matter. And I do want to make sure everyone's aware that Financial Services continues to receive Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. I think 9 years in that one. And the other award, the Popular Annual Financial Reporting, I think we've had that one for 10 years. Or opposite, my math's wrong. And that concludes my abbreviated presentation. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, Ms. McDermott. Appreciate that. Commissioner Walsh, I turn it over to Commissioner Walsh, also want to recognize former Commissioner Bobby Spoon that serves on this audit committee. Her service to this organization is invaluable. She continues to serve, and given her background and the work that she's done in forensics in the audit field is just something that makes me as a commissioner very comfortable knowing when she's reviewed something that has been reviewed carefully. Commissioner Walsh.
Thank you. I know we've been through this a couple times, so just for the sake of me saying it and you having to respond, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Thank you.
let me just go to the slide you're talking about.
The unrestricted net position, right?
Right here,
that
right?
$324 million. Is that
correct?
$324 million sitting in the bank that we're just sitting on? Is that money that could be used for anything we want?
The answer is no, no, no.
Tell me about that again, would you, so I make sure I understand that.
Absolutely. So $324 million includes $181 million of affordable housing loans due back to the Housing Commission. That's not cash. That's money due back to us. The other pieces are restricted to, we have commitments for loans in the future, and including some of the NOFAs that are out right now. Also, we have a 5% contingency reserve that the city pretty much mandates. And we also have the cost of operations going forward. So the answer is no, no, no. We are not sitting on $324 million of cash. In fact, that's not our cash balance at all.
Other questions? Mr. Gentry, was there anything else that you wish to add?
Just to speak well of Tracy and her folks and the good way that we manage our money. Real estate finance is complicated, and when you look at it on first blush, if you don't understand that, it looks like we may have assets going unutilized. Mr. Walsh, thank you for your question. The only monies that we have not under current and full use is the 5% that the city makes us keep in reserves. Nothing else is available for anything other than what is already committed to and tied down to and being used for. And Tracy, you and your folks do an excellent job, and nothing here is a good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. This morning, prior to the board meeting, the investment committee met, and it was a subject of the discussion that Commissioner Hubbard and Commissioner Klumper and I, we were talking about, that especially as the conversation gets heated on should we be spending money on homelessness versus building more affordable housing, people often look to say, well, how much money do you guys have in the bank? You guys are sitting on a lot of money. And it's important to point out, as has been brought forward this morning, that they're not just monies that are sitting there. They're monies that are either already encumbered or in the process of being encumbered or being used in some other way to fulfill our mission. So that's real important to the point that you bring up, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Gentry.
One other thing I should add as well is that, and this is a shout out to our real estate department, if we just spent money the minute it came in the door, we would lose the leverage factor. If we use the money that we target for investment in properties by third-party owners, the loans that we have outstanding that Ms. McDermott mentioned a minute ago, we leverage that to the tune of anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 to 1, depending on the operation. So we would lose that leverage factor by just having money come in and go right straight back out. We use our money to target other monies, and therefore the city's much better off for it because we invest. We don't just spend.
Gentry, okay, the action here is to accept the report for the July 1, 2017 through June 30th, the comprehensive annual financial report and single audit reports. Commissioners, I'll entertain a motion. Commissioner Hester, seconded by Commissioner Davis. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Ms. McDermott, Ms. Lawless, thank you very much for your work on this. Okay, those are the action items that we have here today. We have a workshop discussion now, on which is item 107, for an update. This will be especially valuable for the new commissioners on the Achievement Academy that we've run so well. So, with that, Mr. Davis, Ms. Murphy, are you handling this presentation this morning? Go right ahead.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Davis, Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff. I'm sitting in today for Azucena Valladolid. With me is Stephanie Murphy, Vice President of Workforce and Economic Development. This morning, we are pleased to provide you with an overview and updates about the programs and services available through the San Diego Housing Commission's Achievement Academy. The Achievement Academy is an essential resource for an important part of our mission as an agency, and that is to provide opportunities to improve the quality of life for the families that the Housing Commission serves. The programs and services at the Achievement Academy are available at no cost to the families that participate in our Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program and our Public Housing Program. The Housing Commission currently provides rental assistance to approximately 15,400 families, and 189 families reside in our public housing units. The average annual income of rental assistance households is $18,470 per year. This is less than 30% of the San Diego area median income, which is considered extremely low income. The majority of the households we serve are elderly or disabled. However, more than 40% of our rental assistance households have been identified as being able to work. So the Achievement Academy is one of the very first moving to work initiatives that we had approved through HUD, and this was done in 2010, and the Academy opened in that year. About 8 months later, the Housing Commission received approval from the Department of Housing and Urban Development for our Path to Success initiative. And implemented in July, on July 1st, 2013, Path to Success encourages rental assistance families to become more financially self-reliant. This initiative modified the method the Housing Commission uses to determine the monthly rent payment amounts for rental assistance participants, and it established minimum monthly rent payments for work-able households. The Housing Commission guides work-able households to become more financially self-reliant through our Achievement Academy programs. Since its opening 8 years ago, the Academy has served more than 5,600 participants and has placed more than 1,100 participants into jobs. Stephanie will now share with you some of the details about the Academy programs.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. So the Achievement Academy is located directly below us downstairs on the first floor, and we have a resource center, computer lab, and our primary services are for employment placement, financial education, and then income supports. Here's an overview of some of the services that we provide. We have work readiness workshops, resume writing, interviewing, access to on-site and off-site job skills training, apprenticeship programs, financial education and coaching. We work with people to help them with their credit scores so that they can, if they're having issues getting into an apartment because of their credit, we can help them with that. We have a family self-sufficiency program I'll talk more in depth about. We have access to government benefits, weekly employer recruitments, computer training, free access to computers on site. We have a really great partnership with Microsoft, and they come in and teach classes to our families soft skills training. It's really important right now with employers, making sure that the attitude is correct, talking to them about how they're supposed to be working at when they get into an office. And then we have some specialized programs that we offer as well, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. So the Family Self-Sufficiency Program, our FSS program, is one of our core programs. It's a 2-year program, and when somebody signs up for the program, they're required to have a career plan or an outcome that they will have at the end of the 2 years. Upon graduation, they have to be working 32 hours a week and be off of assistance, temporary assistance for needy families, TANF. You can earn up to $10,000 in an interest-bearing account. We have financial benchmarks as well, so if somebody gets their GED, they find employment, part-time employment, and then full-time employment, they're going to be able to hit benchmarks and then job retention. We currently have 339 clients enrolled in this program, and this is our biggest, this is one of our biggest programs. We receive $407,000 a year from HUD, and I have 6 case managers that are funded for this program directly. Here's some of our outcomes. We track all of our numbers. Every month we look at what we're doing and make sure that we change and swift. We want to make sure that the services that we're providing are current to make sure that our clients are getting what they need and able to get into the workforce. Our core services, this last year we served 1,343. You'll see the last 3 years were pretty stagnant at that number. I only have 8 caseworkers, so those individuals have about an average of 167 on their caseload. They're pretty much tapped out, but they're able to provide some great services to their clients. Increase in earnings, 377. The average wage is $13.19, and we've had 326 people placed. And now we have a video.
I was sitting in the same seats as all of you guys before, and I came into the San Diego Housing Commission not knowing where I was going to go or what I was going to do, and I had children. And I went from kind of having a job, somewhat having a job, to basically owning my own business and even owning my own home. And I did it all within the 3 years of me being on the FSS program within the time frames that I had. A lot of the incentives basically supported me in saving. It helped me obtain goals towards the bigger picture within the FSS program. It lays out a map. So if you're not exactly sure what you want to do, it kind of guides you into, like, let's start here, and then you just build from there. So for me, that was really good because I'm really driven off of a plan. I need a plan of what I need to do so I can execute it. So the FSS program really assists me with that program, that part of the process. It's been a huge impact. I guess because of the San Diego Housing Commission and their FSS program, it has really given me a passion to give back. My experience with being with the program, it was a constant give. What can we help you with? What can we do? And I kind of adopt that concept, and now that's a part of me, of who I am. So now I try to give back and do whatever I can.
We have 2 videos for you, so that's one of our first videos. Siobhan's been amazing to work with. I wanted to give you guys an idea of the employers that we're working with. It also kind of gives you the caliber of jobs. So our top employers, IHSS, which is In-Home Support Services, a caregiver. That is we have 19 employers that are providing placement for our clients. Jacobs Center, Executive Event Services, they're providing placement for security, parking attendant, ticketing events. Aramark is for food service facilities, uniform
and delivery. And then you can see the top jobs we have, caregiver. We have 50 individuals that are caregivers, security guard, cashier, and then all the way down to certified nursing assistant. Most of the families that we serve are people who have been long-term unemployed or have never held a job before. So caregiving is typically one of the first jobs that we're able to get people into because they have experience in that. So I want to touch on some of the programs that we offer. Book Rich Environment, the last few years, HUD has had a partnership with some of the publishing companies, and we've been able to work closely with the public library and the Campaign for Grade Level Reading. And the last few years, we've been able to get each year 13,000 new books. We target three communities. This last year, we did City Heights, Barrio Logan, and San Ysidro. We bring our books there and contact our families, and then the kids are able to come and grab as many books as they want. And typically, the families are able to walk away with about 5 books per child. It's one of my favorite events to attend. Well, typically have a clown that also comes. It's quite a fun experience. Recently, we received the designation for an Envision Center. There's 18 Envision Centers nationwide. And we are currently located at the South Metro Career Center. We needed to secure space within the community that we were serving. We've held some roundtable events. The last roundtable event we had was on July 25th. The South Metro Career Center rental space that we have, Union Bank just last week said that they would pay for the rent in that space, so they gave us a donation of $20,000 to cover that. We work closely with the Workforce Partnership faith-based organization, and we are located in the Promise Zone. We are doing a soft opening right now. We're serving a few clients through that location, but we anticipate to be opening the doors in January 2019, and we are in the process of finalizing hiring an individual to oversee that. And we also, I should tell you that we recently received $50,000 from Wells Fargo as well to provide workforce development services to individuals coming through the Envision Center. 2.5 years ago, we received $780,000 to run a 3-year program from W.K. Kellogg Foundation. It's one of the only housing authorities that has ever received funding for a program. It was specific to 60 families, a 2-gen program, so we had to focus on kids between the ages of 0 and 8, and then their parents. There were 4 areas of focus: health and wellness, financial stability, social capital or volunteerism, being involved in the community, education, and employment, and we are in the final year of this program. Here are some numbers that we have to date. We've had 27 increase their income by at least 20%. 27 have decreased assistance. We've had a 63% increase their FICO score. For health and wellness, the families are definitely making sure their kids are getting their annual checkups, dental checkups, and everyone in the program was able to receive a YMCA membership, and the families are definitely using the YMCA membership, and I would say probably that was the best thing that we were able to do for these families. They love their YMCA membership. Education and employment, we've had 54% of our families, the parents obtain employment. They're making sure their kids are attending school with 3 days or less absence for a majority of the children, and 70% are performing at grade level. When we originally started this program, we did a survey, and most of the individuals were not involved in their community, which was City Heights. And we've had an increase of 44% are now engaged in community activities, which we're actually pleased to see that increase. A few more of our programs. We have a youth program, and I don't know if you know about this, but there's a big issue with opportunity youth in San Diego, so we want to make sure that we are working with our families that live in housing that are considered opportunity youth. That's youth ages between 16 and 24 that are not working and not going to school. We partnered with Jacobs Center and with the Workforce Partnership, and they this last year provided a graphic design program. The year prior, they did biotech, which was really successful for our youth as well. So we had 10 youth go through a paid internship program where they learned graphic design, web design, and were able to actually design logos for some employers in San Diego. And we provided graphic design tablets to all of the 10 youth that were in the internship. Overall, we've served 192 youth through the academy in this fiscal year 2018. 65 have been placed in jobs, and 14 have been placed in vocational training. And last, I want to show you the Power of One. This is our single parent program. We've had this program running for 2 years. We noticed that we did have a large number of our families that were considered single parents. We wanted to create a cohort. Most of our classes are just you attend a workshop and then you go home. You don't attend it with a group. So we created a cohort where they could work together. Our first year cohort, we had 55 enrolled. Our second year, we had 49. So we had a total in the last 2 years of 104 people go through our single parent program, Power of One. We've had 83 increase their income, 55 placed in jobs. Our average wage is $1,306. We've had a good enrollment, 23 enrolling into training in college, increasing credit, 30. And then we have people attending a variety of workshops. We also created a match savings program. So if they were able to save up to $200, we would match 50% of it. And so we had a total of a little over $7,000 that they were able to save for these two cohorts.
Well, credit counseling. Job preparedness, dress for success, leap of confidence. It was a lot. And I utilized all the programs so far, and I really love them. And I would like to continue to utilize all of them as long as I can. Oh, I accomplished a lot. I accomplished, my confidence level has went up. My credit scores went up. I'm looking forward to being a homeowner and a business owner. And there's a lot of people here that support you. And I know a lot of people by first name, and they know me by first name when I come in the door, and they give me hugs and love. And, you know, they are really passionate, and they help you and mentor you and your goals. And they don't give up on you. The Housing Commission has definitely brought stability to my family. They brought a lot of independence.
That's an overview of the Achievement Academy. I do want to say that we are continually looking for funding. That's such an important piece for us because it gives us new programs that we can provide. We are pending some funding opportunities that we hope to hear in January. We have $190,000 that we're asking for from local initiatives, LISC, Local Initiative Support Corporation, and then $50,000 for Cities for Financial Empowerment Fund. So fingers crossed that we're able to secure those two funding opportunities. Any questions?
Well, Ms. Murphy, thank you very much for that presentation of the award-winning academy. You know, we've been recognized on a national scale for the effectiveness of running this program, and it's the work that you guys are doing here. I love the fact that you focus in and you measure outcomes. Tells us that it's real, and you are really making an impact on these on the people that we're helping. And that's something that we should all be very, very proud of. Any other questions that we have on the Achievement Academy? Yes, Commissioner Davis.
Just curious, why to be self-sufficient is the hourly hours, 32 hours a week? Why'd you come to that figure? I thought the breaking point was 30 hours between over 30 is full-time. Why 32 hours? I'm just curious.
We didn't come with that. That's HUD's requirement. That's HUD's requirement for family self-sufficiency. Yeah.
Mr. Gentry.
Just another job well done. Stephanie, you and your folks do great, great work here. And this is the focus of our Moving to Work program anyway. And let me point out that the basic way we pay for this is, again, through efficiencies on the third floor by Suzanne and her folks that allows us to use money not only to acquire property like we talked about a while ago, but to provide, in addition to other monies that we're able to raise to come in here, to focus back on our customers, to help those customers outgrow the need for us in the first place. So it's a job well done. Very pleased with what you do. And it represents, I think, the best of this agency. Thank you.
That's well said. Any further comments or questions on this? Thank you very much for the presentation. I hope that was real helpful, especially for the newer commissioners here. Okay. That concludes our action, our items on the agenda today. Let me just say before we conclude the meeting that 6 years ago, I was asked to consider coming onto this board. By that time, I had already had about 30 years of working on various boards and commissions here in San Diego, and I really thought I was done. I thought that I had done all I needed to do and wasn't really interested in continuing to do it, but I was asked to consider it. Finally, I negotiated that I would fulfill a 14-month term that was left, unexpired term. 6 years later, here I am. It's been a great experience for me. I've gotten a whole lot out of this. I'm saying all this because my term is coming to an end, and this could very well be my last meeting here with you. What I've gotten out of this is a greater appreciation for what this organization does, not only in the stuff that we heard today, but the recognition, Mr. Gentry touched on it, that we have on a national basis, the San Diego model. I had no idea about that before I came onto this, commission. This is a tribute to all of you that are out there that are daily doing the work that you're doing. And I'm really glad to see Mr. Gentry pay kudos to the work that you do, whether it's the academy or the work that Mr. Pafko is doing and with our nonprofit partner. This is what makes this organization sing, and this is what makes us the San Diego model. We're going into a whole new area here in the homeless issue. Great to have Ms. Jones on board to help us to carry that to a whole new level. I couldn't be prouder to have been part of this organization. I'm very, very happy with the commission that we have today. A much more engaged commission than when I first came on board. This is something that I really strived to have happen. We needed to get a commission that was more engaged in helping along because, as Mr. Gentry said earlier in his comments, it's one thing to have the execution, but it's another thing to have the policy set. This commission does. That's very, very important. So as I get ready to depart this commission, I congratulate you all. It's been great to be a part of this. I'm very, very encouraged by this commission and the engagement that you all have. I know it's in good hands, and I wish you continued success. So with that, our meeting is done for the day, and we were adjourned.